Welcome to the Mormon Faircast. I'm your host, Julianne DeLynn Hatton. Today, we're discussing the 18th Annual Fair Mormon Conference with Fair Mormon volunteer Trevor Holyoke. Good evening, Trevor.
Hello.
Let's talk a little about how you got involved with Fair Mormon.
Okay, well, that's sort of a long story. I'm a lifelong member of the church. My ancestors actually joined the church pretty early, but I grew up in the Salt Lake Valley, and my parents had a library of LDS books that I read as a kid, and then I discovered that the library there in the Salt Lake Valley also had a lot of LDS books, and that's also where I ran into my first anti-Mormon book, and I sort of had a little bit of a crisis of faith at about the age of 14.
14? You were thinking about deep things at that age.
Yeah, I'm probably the only kid that would take the history of the church to read with me at school, too. But I worked my way through that and came out stronger and realized that there were answers to questions. Well, this was back in the 1980s, and we had an Atari computer. And back then, this was before the internet was available. They called them bulletin board systems, where other people ran computers that you could call and have bulletin boards where you could have discussions. And there were some anti-Mormon discussions going on that I got involved in and tried to defend the church as a teenager, which was kind of interesting. So that was sort of my first taste of the online stuff. So I served a mission in the early 90s in this Texas San Antonio mission. I was called as Spanish-speaking, but I also spent a lot of time talking to people in English. I actually had one English area. And I ran into people that had been influenced by books like The Godmakers and things like that. And so they didn't want to talk to us because of what they thought they knew. And David Koresh was up in Waco at this time, which was actually in our mission. And that didn't help when we wanted to talk about Living Prophets. And I actually lost a couple of investigators because after having felt the Spirit and being all excited and committed for baptism, they would go and talk to their preacher of the religion that they had been a member of and get told all sorts of things. And, you know, we actually, there were a couple of people we spent hours trying to explain the truth to, but we lost them, and it was really sad, and that had quite an effect on me. And I served about 6 months in a border town called Del Rio, and I got the idea because we were doing service in the public library, and one of the ladies that was working in the library said that she knew somebody at the newspaper, and so I wrote a little article about the church for the newspaper, and they published it. And then the next week, one of the local preachers wrote an article about us. And so I wrote another article, and then he wrote another article. And he directly referred to my articles, but I sort of tried to not directly respond, but to talk about subjects, you know, that would respond, but not be a direct response, if that makes sense. But we had an investigator that had left the reorganized church and was investigating the LDS church. They actually ended up joining, but she told me that one thing that my newspaper articles did was united all the other churches against us.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but when we knocked on doors, there were some people that were a little bit more aware of us, and hopefully that was good. So let's see, I came home from my mission, got married, and then in 1998 or 99, let's see, the first conference was in 99, so it would have, sometime before that. Anyway, I was on several, by then the internet was going, and I was on several LDS-related email lists, and somebody posted to one of them saying that they were starting an apologetics group called FAIR, and wanted people to join, and so I did. And so I guess I joined pretty early, although I wasn't very involved for the first few years.
You had a young family.
Right. And I was on the email list and really enjoyed that. But it appeared that most of the people on the email list were these great gospel scholars. And my degree was in computer science, which didn't quite fit. And so I wasn't quite sure how I could help, but I found that I was welcome on the email list. And so I sort of lurked for a while. And then in 2003, somebody got the idea to use Yahoo Instant Messenger with just the audio part. And they put a laptop up on the podium during the conference. And for fair members, we were able to listen. And so I listened to the conference and I thought, hey, this is really interesting. And the conference, I guess, would not be that big a deal to go to. And plus, I was working in Provo, and the conference was being held in Orem, and I was kind of kicking myself for being so close to it and not being there. We finally got to where we were using live video, and last year we did our first HD video, and I think that went well, and we should be doing that again this year.
Why don't you tell our listeners what they need to do in order to get streaming?
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons why you would want to do the streaming. Either you are too far away or you have other things that make it so you can't come. We also have people that do go, but then they still buy the streaming so they can watch it later. It'll be available for Windows or Mac or iOS or Android. It may not work on Linux. If you go to www.fairmormon.org, there's a link at the top of the page, and you can sign up. This year, the streaming is $29.95, and that includes the live streaming. A few days after the conference, I should have the videos available to watch on demand. It does take me a few days to get them ready after the conference, but then they will be available for several months. The last couple of years, I've actually kept them available up until just a few months before the next conference because people were still buying it. And I want to give people at least 30 days after they buy it to watch as much as they want.
How many people participate usually in a conference in the streaming?
Well, for the live streaming, I think we've had 60 to 70 at a time, at any given time. People tend to kind of tune in when there's something that they're particularly interested in. And then they go and watch the other stuff later, probably. We've had over 100 sign up last year, and that's probably the most we've had so far.
What else do you do at Fair Mormon?
Well, I'm involved currently in the social media committee. We have a Pinterest account, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm also involved in the blog committee, and I am the manager of Fair Mormon Apps. I've created apps for Android and a Fair Mormon TV service for Android TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And Fair Mormon TV has older conference talks starting probably about 10 years ago. There's a few. And then the last few years where I've been recording them as they stream, we've got all of them up until a couple of years ago. We wait to make them freely available until a couple of years after the conference is over because we sell the streaming in the bookstore to help actually pay for the streaming and for the conferences.
How can we get Fair Mormon on TV?
If you get a Roku box, which have become pretty common, or a Amazon Fire TV device, there are apps for both of those, as well as Android TV, although Android TV is not, I don't think there's very many people that have that.
Is there a speaker that you're looking forward to hearing this year?
Well, I'm looking forward to Matt Groh. He works with the Joseph Smith Papers with the Church Historical Department. He came a couple of years ago, and he made a great talk, and actually went to a presentation he did recently about the newest volume. And this new one about the Council of 50 should be very interesting. They're finally publishing minutes that have not been available to anybody until now. So that should be very interesting. Royal Skousen has actually come a couple times before as well, and he's always really interesting about his Book of Mormon Critical Text Project. I recently wrote a review of a book about the Relief Society Minutes, the first 50 years of Relief Society, by and Jill Durr was one of the authors of that, and she's going to be talking about the 1868 restoration of the Relief Society once they got to Utah, and that should be interesting.
Great female speakers this year.
Yes, yes. And also Allie Isom. She works for public affairs, I believe. Ben McGuire is a Fair Mormon member, and he always writes really good answers to questions when people write in. So I'm looking forward to see what he has to say about the Book of Mormon. Grant Hardy has spoken before, I believe, and he's got some great insights into the Book of Mormon. He's published several books. One of them I like that is a reader's version of the Book of Mormon that kind of reformats the way the text is printed on the page. And then Dan Peterson always gives a good talk. We don't know what he's talking about yet. I understand it's customary for him to write it the night before, so he may not know yet either. I've kind of just gone down the list and pointed out some, and I'm sure the other ones will be great as well.
These are the ones you're familiar with, though, right?
Yeah, those are the people that I'm familiar with. But there should be something for everybody. My parents are actually coming this year. There's something there that they in the list that they saw. They haven't come for a few years. They used to go to BYU Education Week every year, and then they decided to come a few years ago to our conference, and they actually liked it more. They said that the speakers went into more detail, and they really enjoyed it. But then they haven't been for a few years, but there's something apparently that's attracting them this time. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, there you go. So give us a time, date, and where we can get tickets.
The 18th Annual Fair Mormon Conference will be held on August 4th and 5th. It'll be at the Utah Valley Convention Center. You can also watch it online with the streaming, which both of those you can sign up for on our website at www.fairmormon.org. The registration will close a few days before the conference for the in-person, but you can show up and buy your tickets at the conference, and the streaming will be available to buy from now until months after the conference. It'll be available until people quit buying it, basically.
Trevor, thank you so much for this information.
You're welcome. It's been great to talk about it with you.
And thank you for all that you do for Fair Mormon.
Well, thank you.
This episode of the Mormon Faircast is produced by Tom Hatton. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of Fair Mormon or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can support this podcast by subscribing to it in iTunes and by rating it and writing a review. Questions or comments can be sent to podcast@fairmormon.org, or you may join the conversation at fairblog.org.